All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's open them to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's good to have Michael Dimsdale with us again tonight. Good to see you. He's visited with us several times lately, and glad he's back. Just Colossians chapter 1. We'll read a few verses here, and I'll try to preach for you. I think I gave Dalen a little bit different title than what I'm got here, but it conveys the same idea, all right? So just not exactly the same. So there in Colossians chapter 1, if you would, I want you to look at verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on four reasons to give thanks. Four reasons to give thanks. Now, I know we've got a lot more than four reasons to do so. But I also know if I did my best, stood here tonight and tried to give you and talk about all the reasons and cover as many as I can, you wouldn't like that because we'd be here a long, long, long time. All right, so we're just going to focus on those four. The truth is there's a song that says we've got so much to thank him for, and that is very true. The Apostle Paul was used by God to pen these words. He wrote, I'll remind you, he's writing to a church. He's writing to a church at Colossae, a city, a local church, an independent church, you know, a fundamental church, and I believe it was a Baptist church. Now, it didn't have that name on it. Didn't have that name on it. I don't know what name it had on it. Don't know if it had a name on it. You say, why do you think it's Baptist? Because of what it believed, all right? That's what makes it that. And so he was instructing them, and one of the things he instructed them to do, he said, is giving thanks. Giving thanks. Now, just to be honest, we could take verse 12 and stop and stay there a long time and just thanking God for the fact that he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I mean, you could be there a while, all right? I mean, what it is, it's such a good thing to be in that crowd. It's good to look forward to the great inheritance that is promised to the saints of God, all right? Now, I remind you, this book was written to believers, all right? I said I want to preach to you about four reasons to give thanks. Now, if you're here tonight and never been born again, you may be a church member, you may have been baptized and all of that, but you've never been born again. The only thing you've got to be thankful for is the fact God still lets you live and has given you one more opportunity to get saved, and I'd strongly urge you to get saved tonight. Matter of fact, we'll stop everything right now if you want to get saved, okay? You know, somebody said, well, preacher, what would you do if in the middle of service somebody shot their hand up and said, I want to get saved? We'd let them get saved, all right? We're not on a program that couldn't be backed up or stopped, you know. But, hey, we're thankful. We're in a good crowd. But I want us to focus tonight on four great truths that are here in these verses that give us reason to thank our great God, all right? Just look at them with me. The first one's right there in verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You talk about something to be thankful for. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, the Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It goes on to say that in him is no darkness at all. I mean, you just think about that, no darkness at all. Now, simply put, here's what that means. If you and I get around him, then the darkness is going to be banished. It's going to be gone. You're not going to be in the dark if you're with him, all right? It's just impossible because he drives that darkness away. Darkness cannot abide where the light is, all right? Just can't do it. At your house, it's when the lights go out that darkness comes on. That's when the darkness comes in. But man, if you're around one and you're with the one who is the light of the world, there's not going to be any darkness. And when you get in him, when you got in him, you got in the light. You got in the light. And what a great thing it is to realize that he delivered us from darkness. You say, what do you mean? Well, he's delivered us from outer darkness. He's delivered us from the darkness of hell. I believe hell is a place of fire, but I also believe it's a place of pitch darkness. Pitch darkness. I'll never forget one time, one day when I was going to college, I was up at the great bastion of truth at North Texas State University, and I was sitting there waiting on the bus to come home and listening to some fellows talking, and one of them made this brilliant statement. I'll never forget it. He said out loud, I want to go to hell because that's where all the neat people are. And I'm going to tell you, they may be the people he considers neat, but he won't be able to associate with them. I mean, it's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. I'm glad he delivered me from that darkness, all right? Man, I'm glad that I've been delivered from the darkness of hell. I think today there's so many people that grope and stagger in the darkness of this old world without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Satan hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not. So they can't see the truth. They're in darkness. Well, the Lord's delivered us from the darkness of hell, but he's also delivered us from spiritual darkness, all right? From that spiritual darkness. And if you'll let me put it this way, I call it an inner darkness. You say, what do you mean? Well, the darkness, if you will, of no hope. No hope. Boy, people describe that and say, man, I was in a dark place. Ever heard anybody say that to you? There was a time in my life I was in a dark place. And usually that's a time where they said, I had no hope, no hope. And maybe very discouraged, maybe very depressed. I'll be honest with you. I believe the Lord can deliver us from that. I believe he'll deliver us from that darkness. Like I said, before salvation, you were blinded by Satan. You were stumbling in the dark. But hey, the Lord's delivered us. You got born again. He not only delivered us from the darkness of hell, I believe he delivered us from the darkness, if you will, of depression. The darkness of desperation. There have been times where I felt, oh man, what a bummer. You know, just for whatever reason. I honestly don't know if I could say I've ever been depressed. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying depression's not a real thing. I believe it is. Surely do. I'm just saying I don't know that I've ever been depressed. And if that being the case, but I've felt sometimes, you know, where I was down. And you say, well, what brought you out of it? Well, honest, just thinking about the goodness of God. Just the goodness of God. What a blessing. And begin to think about, wait a minute, things aren't going all right now. Things look bad now, but I'm saved. I've been born again. I can look forward to the fact, as they say, man, we've read the back of the book. We know how it comes out. We know we're on the winning side. There's reason to rejoice. Reason to rejoice. I've sat in ball games before where we were behind. Way behind. I mean, I remember as a teenager, we were playing softball, and there was one day we didn't have the world's greatest team. And there was one day we were playing. My wife laughed. I wish she wouldn't have done that. It makes me feel worse, all right? We didn't have the world's greatest team. We were behind. I mean, it was hot. It was over 100 degrees. I was the pitcher. And I turned around and looked. My brother was playing center field. And he had gone so far out in center field, he was standing by the light pole. There was no fence around the field, but there was a light pole way out there. Wait a minute, he wasn't standing by the light pole. He was crouched down in the shade of the light pole. And we were getting shellacked, all right? He said, well, how did you encourage yourself? Thank God this game will soon be over, all right? We can go home, you know? Hey, listen, this old life, even at the worst time, you can say, thank God it'll soon be over. And I know he's taking care of me. He's delivered me from darkness, all right? Delivered me from the darkness of depression and desperation, and gloom and doom, all right? Hey, let me put it to you this way. If he's delivered you from darkness, you ought to have a new outlook. You just ought to have a new outlook. And God's delivered us. Boy, there's something to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear about the death of individuals that were exceedingly wicked and lived a terrible life. And I thought, how sad. What a terrible thing to think that person is now burning in hell and they'll be there through eternity. Through eternity. No evidence ever got saved. They'll be there through eternity. I'm glad. I'm glad I've been delivered from darkness. Now, there's something to be thankful for. Give you a new outlook. But notice what that Bible says there in verse 13. And he says he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, most of the time when we think of the word translated, we think of one language to another. That's usually what we think about. We think one language to another being translated. The Bible and other books get translated from one language to another. That is, those words are moved from one place, if you would, to another place, all right? They're translated. The Bible tells us, though, that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Translated from earth to heaven. Translated. Now, you just think about that. Now, the Bible says we've been translated. He had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I believe the Bible tells us we ought to thank our God. We've been moved into that kingdom, all right? I have been moved, all right? I'm in Christ right now. Take your Bible and go back a couple of books, or just one book, to the book of two books, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to look at a great verse here, all right? Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me, if you will, at verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, we'll read verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together. Now, wait a minute. There is no future tense verb in that verse. The Bible said he's made us sit together in heavenly places. Not in the future, but right now. Right now. We've been translated. Now, Brother Johnny Flanagan wrote a song, and he based it using that verse and some other verses, and then the words to it said, I'm already over on the other side waiting for my brand new body. Sitting up there in the heavenly fair on the right hand of the Father. With my citizenship in heaven, I'm living in Christ, you see. I'm already over on the other side waiting for my body to be. Now, man, I'll tell you, I love that song. I love that song, tremendous truth in it. You know, we've been translated. God has moved us. He's moved our citizenship. I am glad to be an American. I am glad to be an American. Glad to be one. Thrilled to be that. Would rather be an American than any other citizen of any other country in the world today. But I'm so much gladder, or more glad, whichever satisfies you. I'm gladdest of the fact that I'm a citizen of heaven. I've been translated. Been translated, all right? I've been moved. Hey, thank God I've got a new location. There's something to thank God, all right? There's something to thank God. I'm already there in Christ. I'm already there. You say, well, I'm right here right now. I know, but in Christ we're there. We're because we're in him. You got in him when you got saved. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ. Now, if you sit and think about that long enough, you'll go, man, it's overwhelming, and it is. It's one of those great truths that your little old feeble mind and my little old finite mind, we can't wrap our mind around it, but it's true. He's translated us and to the kingdom of his dear son. Boy, there's a reason to thank the Lord. Hey, I've got a new location. Got a new location. Got a new outlook, got a new location. But I want you to look at the third thing. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, we're not going to leave out those three words. In whom we have redemption through his blood. We sang tonight, redeemed, 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 how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Folks, I don't know, I cannot sit and sing that song without it stirring my heart. It's such a great truth. It is to be redeemed. We have been redeemed. I'll point it out to you, we're not going to leave out those three words, through his blood, because the only redemption that is available to man is through his blood. Through his blood. That's it. Hebrew tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, all right? It's just impossible. They cannot be remitted at all without the shedding of blood. But we have that remission, all right? We have redemption. We have redemption through his blood. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, boy, what a wonderful thing to rejoice over. Take your Bible, don't lose your place here, but go back to Acts. Acts chapter 20, would you? Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was being used of God in Acts chapter 20, and he's there, and he's with the Ephesian elders. He's preaching and teaching them. And we find this verse, all right? We find this verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. With his own blood. Listen, you hear some turkey tell you that what's important is the death of Jesus Christ. No, what's important is that blood. Because it wasn't the death of Jesus Christ that bought us. It was his blood. It was his blood that bought us and paid for our sin. That was the price of our redemption. We were redeemed from the slavery of sin. Folks, I tell you, people that are not saved are absolutely enslaved by sin. Enslaved by sin. I don't get excited. I'm not surprised to see the lost man in sin. Not surprised to see the depths of the depravity that can be there. Because you mark it down, that one that's not saved is a slave to sin. Slave to sin. You as a Christian, if you start messing around, getting away from God, get unfaithful in the house of God, you're going to find yourself enslaved by sin too. You'll find yourself, because that's what it does to us. But the Lord has provided redemption. He's redeemed us through his blood. Redeemed us through his blood. We're born again because of that and through that price, all right? He's redeemed us. Now, there's something to be thankful for, okay? That means, hey, I've got a new family. I've got a new family. I'm no longer a child of hell. I'm no longer a child of the devil. You're no longer a child of hell. You're no longer a child of the devil. You are a child of the King and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've been redeemed, all right? Redemption through his blood. That's what it gives us. Now, if you can't get excited about that and think, you know, maybe I ought to thank him for that. Maybe I ought to thank him for that. Just spend a little bit of while saying thanks. Just a little bit of while saying thanks. I don't know about you, but sometimes when somebody does something really nice for me, I think, man, I wish I could think of a better word than thanks or thank you. But what more do you say? Now, you can say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But we ought to be grateful to God. And I'll tell you this, I don't think it hurt us every day to say thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the power of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for translating me to the kingdom of your dear Son. Hey, what a privilege, all right? What a privilege. What a blessing. Thank the Lord for what he's done. We've got a reason to thank him. The fourth thing I want you to see in verse 14, it says, even the forgiveness of sin. You say, well, that's what redemption is. No, it's not. Redemption's not forgiveness, and forgiveness is not redemption. They're not the same thing. It is possible for an individual to be redeemed from slavery without forgiving that individual. It's possible to do that, all right? In days gone by, when countries would conquer another country, back in the Middle Ages and ancient history especially, when you conquered a country, you took them slave. You took slaves out of that group. Now, the truth of the matter is, you could see a slave brought in if you were a soldier, all right? If you were a soldier, you could see slaves brought in and recognize that slave who used to be a soldier and say, he killed my brother in battle. I remember I was there, fought the battle, I'm sorry, he killed my brother. But I'm going to redeem him. I'm going to free him. I'm going to pay the price, and I will redeem him and free him from slavery. But that doesn't mean you have to forgive him. You could redeem him from slavery so you turn around and kill him, all right? And they're not the same thing, all right? But thank God we not only have redemption through his blood, but we have the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of our sins. Hey, could I just put a little more emphasis? Forgiven for all our sin. All our sin. When you got saved, if you're saved tonight, whenever you got saved, God forgave all your sin. All your sin. Everything. Hey, wait a minute. Now, this is a hard part to grasp. He forgave the sin you had committed, but every sin you've committed since then still been forgiven. It's been forgiven. All your sins were covered under the blood. Okay? Under the blood. Now, that is a hard thing for me to handle. You say, well, how could he forgive future sins? Well, I'll tell you, when he died on the cross, all of your sins were future. Every sin you've ever, they were all future when the price was paid, okay? And the blood was applied. And a lot of people can't grasp that. That's why a lot of people have a hard time with eternal security. You said, well, preacher, why do I go to God and confess my sin and ask him to forgive me after I've been saved? Because you want fellowship again. You want that fellowship to be restored. You do that when I was a kid and I was disobedient to my parents and I got in trouble and got a whipping or that kind of thing. Hey, there was broken fellowship. I mean, there was broken fellowship. If I'd done wrong and got a spanking and, the belt was applied, after that spanking, I didn't say, hey, Dad, can I borrow $5? The relationship was broken. The relationship was broken, all right? Hey, that's why we go. But the Bible says one thing that God's done for us, we ought to be thankful for, is forgiveness of sins. That means you and I, we no longer have to carry around the weight of sin and the guilt that sin brings to us. You don't have to carry that around. Now, here's what the devil does. The devil gets you out, and you do wrong, and he waves that red flag in front of you. You said it ain't red. Well, use your imagination. All right? He waves that red flag in front of you and says, hey, you're worthless. Look what you've done. The Lord doesn't love you anymore. You're no longer his child. And the devil tries to convince you of that. But you mark her down. He's forgiven all your sins. We have forgiveness of sins. Now, Here's what folks say that don't understand Scripture. They turn around and said, if I believe what you believe, I'd live any way I pleased. I'd do whatever I wanted to. My comment is, that's exactly what I do. That is exactly what I do. I do what I want to do. My friend, don't tell you, when God saved me, and I got a good grasp of what that means, I'm delivered from darkness. Don't have to worry about the darkness of hell. I've been redeemed through His blood. I've been translated to the kingdom of His dear Son. You say, well, I'd live any way I please. I do. Because I want to please that one that died for me. I want to please the one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The one who said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Hey, I'd just like to be His friend. I just like, why? Because of what He's done for me. What He's done for me. Well, I'd live any way I please. I do. But I tell you what, if you live in sin, you don't appreciate what God's done for you. You just don't appreciate what God's done for you. Now, Peter said, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. And then the second time he said, no, you got the wrong guy. I don't know Him. The third time he cursed and said, man, don't you understand? I don't know Him. I'm not that guy. But then he went out and he wept bitterly. Why? Because of Holy Spirit conviction. That's why. And I'm going to tell you what, you can do what you want to, but you can't enjoy it anymore. You can't enjoy it anymore. Oh, thank God for the forgiveness of sin. I don't have to carry that guilt around. The devil comes along and says, look at you, boy, you're a sorry Christian. You say, that's all right, I'm a saved Christian. I'm going to heaven. I may not be as good as that other fellow or that other woman, but I am saved, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to try to serve my Lord, and you're not going to throw that guilt back on me, all right? People try to hang a guilt trip on you, as we say. The devil tries to do that. Don't you let him do it. You're forgiven. Now, if you're not in fellowship with the Father, get it there, all right? A redemption means the slate has been, or forgiveness of sin means the slate has been wiped clean. That's what forgiveness of sins means. Slate's wiped clean. Think about that. So what does that mean? Well, think of it this way. God's given you a new start. God's given you a new start. When you got saved, He wiped it clean. Man, what a blessing that is. If, you know, the songwriter said, you know, if you come to the Lord and say, you know, confess, and He says, well, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Hey, our Lord, when He forgives, He forgets. He forgets. Our God looks at you and I who have been born again and does not see our sin. He sees the righteousness of His Son. The righteousness of His Son. Why? We've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. Boy, you just dwell on that a little bit, all right? Is that not cause to thank God? Is that not cause to thank Him? We've been delivered from darkness, all right? Hey, do you thank the Lord the way you should? Do you thank the Lord the way you should? I mean, just think about it. Our mouth ought to be filled with thanks for what He's done for us. Or to just be filled with thanks. That new outlook that we have, that new location that we enjoy, that new family, that new start should be put to good use too, all right? Ought to be put to good use. You see, if you're thanking the Lord, I believe you'll be serving the Lord. If we'll learn to thank Him for what He's done, it'll help us to move forward for the Lord. Because I'm thanking Him and I'm constantly reminded of what I am because of what He's done for me. The blessings I enjoy because of what He's done, what He's bestowed upon me and blessed me with, that causes me to go, Lord, I ought to serve You. You sure been good. You sure been good. Boy, don't you think we ought to thank Him? Four things. Four reasons for you to thank the Lord. That's four out of 400 that we could talk about. All right? But those four, do you thank Him? Do you think about it? And then thank Him for what He's done? Oh man, God help us to be grateful people. You said, preacher, it's not November. Why are you preaching Thanksgiving? It is okay to be thankful in August. It's okay to be thankful. Let's don't wait until November to be reminded, I ought to thank the Lord. Hey, we ought to thank Him all the time. Paul wrote to these folks in Colossae, and he said, you need to give thanks. You have been delivered from darkness, the power of darkness. And He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Four reasons for you to be thankful. Are you? Would you bow your heads tonight? Hey, are you thankful for what God's done?